Well, hello there. Welcome to the On to the Next podcast. I'm your host, Alyssa, and I am so happy you are here. If you are watching on YouTube, you already see I have a guest with me today. Hello. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Angela. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm well. Thank you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. Of course. Love your show.
Thank you.
I think I've told you before, I wish I was as smart and aware of the world when I was your age as you are now.
Yes, so that's very sweet.
Love your show.
Thank you. And it's good to have that reminder, like I'm doing my part. And I'm glad that you're here to spread your wisdom. I'm excited to hear what you have to say today.
Wisdom.
We'll
use that lightly.
No. Angela, I need you to tell the people who you are.
Hello. My name is Angela Aiello, and I am an actor / content creator-ish in Chicago. So aside from my acting, I also like doing makeup videos on Instagram. So I'll recreate like red carpet looks, or I'll recreate like characters from TV shows or movies. And it's really fun. It's a really cool creative outlet for me. And there's also a little bit of acting that goes into that as well. Sometimes I'll do scene recreations of famous movies, and I'll have my dog be my co-star in it, which she's amazing.
I've seen those.
She always outshines me, but it's okay.
Also, you are a content creator. You like stuttering. Do you not think you are?
No, I mean, I do. I think I am. It's just like not my main thing. That's true. Yeah. Imposter syndrome, I feel like, is always
I couldn't tell if you like didn't believe you were that level, or if you just like didn't strive for. I don't know. I just wanted you to know, like, you definitely are a content creator. She posts like insane videos every day, I feel like, or at least multiple times a week.
Like, yeah, usually once a week or so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's always like quality. Your makeup and hair is always so insane.
Thank you so much.
There's certain looks I should send to you to recreate.
Oh, I would love that. Yes.
There's ones like, it's, I think of like for Halloween. Mm-hmm. But like, have you done Priscilla Presley yet?
I did her a couple of years ago, back when the Elvis movie came out.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
Because that's one. Yeah, I've been obsessed since I watched her movie. Like, I've been obsessed with her.
Yes.
So I'm like, for Halloween, I want to be her. But, like, I need to, like, revamp, you know, to really make the look.
I should do another one, though. Because
it's more relevant now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, there are looks that I've done that I'll go back and I'll redo again, like, years later. Just because, you know, your skills grow over the years.
Yeah.
Or you, like, look at your past one and you say, like, ooh, I probably would have done this different or added this or taken away that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, maybe I'll redo my Priscilla.
That would be cute.
Yeah.
And how do you learn everything? Just by videos?
Mostly self-taught. Yeah, mostly just like playing around, experimenting.
Okay.
I feel like a lot of my makeup knowledge came from Carly Bible. She's a YouTuber.
Cute.
And she's really the only makeup YouTuber that I've ever watched like religiously.
Okay.
I started watching her in college. I think the first video of hers that I watched was a sock bun tutorial, because sock buns were really cool when I was in college. Not so much these days, but when I was in college, sock buns were everything.
Yeah.
So that was the first video of hers that I watched. And then after that, I just like watched all her makeup videos, and she's probably where I got most of my like base makeup knowledge from. And then over the years, it's just kind of been experimenting and learning on my own.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It's really specific like niche to have that, that skill outside of like everything else that you do. So it's really cool to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also in college, I was a double major in acting and design.
Okay.
So I did hair and makeup designs for some of the plays that our school did. And the cool thing about that is when you do theater, you very often have to make do with what you have. I mean, unless you're on Broadway and you have like millions of dollars in budget. More often than not in theater, your budget's pretty small.
Yeah.
So you have to make do with what you have. And having like limited resources like that, I feel often forces you to have to come up with creative solutions to problems.
Totally.
Yeah. And I find that those are often actually the most interesting. So when I'm doing my Instagram videos, I try to buy as few things as possible.
Okay.
And I try to make do with what I have. So I literally will take my stuff, I'll cut stuff up, I'll wear stuff backwards or upside down, or sew things together.
Yeah.
Like, I really try to be thrifty, so I'm not spending a ton of money on these videos.
Totally.
It's a lot of fun.
That's cool. And it pushes you outside of your comfort zone sometimes, and you have limited resources. resources also.
Exactly.
And then you realize how skilled you are when you figure it out, which I think is a cool part.
Yeah, it's really satisfying when it all comes together and it's like the dress that you have on is actually like a paper bag or like a shower curtain or like something that I like MacGyvered together to make it work.
That's really cool. Yeah, well, go check out her Instagram. We'll plug you at the end so they can look you up after, and I'll put you in the bio and everything. But definitely lots of great work there. Send her send her some suggestions.
Yes, please. I love getting suggestions.
Yes. So before we get to know more about like you and what we want to talk about today, I did want to ask you, what era are you currently in?
What era?
Yes.
Is that what the kids are saying these days?
I guess.
What era am I in? I think that I am probably in my Eleanor Roosevelt's era.
What? Yes. That's so cute.
And by that, I mean, there's a quote by her that they reference in the first Princess Diaries movie.
Okay.
And it's that no one can make you feel inferior without your consent.
I love that.
Yeah, me too. And that's a quote that I've always loved. But I feel like within the last year especially, it's become very, very relevant to me. There were just a couple of situations I ran into last year where there were people who made me feel as though I didn't deserve certain opportunities that I had.
Okay.
And I feel like it just finally clicked in my head, like, why am I letting these people affect me that way? Why am I letting them make me feel less than? You know what I mean?
Totally.
And I think that as an actor especially, you're always going to care a little bit about what people think, because as an actor, a lot of your career is what people think of you. And that's fine. But I think that within the last year especially, I've gotten to a place where I'm no longer, like, I know who I am and what I can do. And I'm no longer going to allow other people to tell me who I am or what I can do or what I'm worth or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd say I'm in my Eleanor Roosevelt.
That's really sweet. I love that. It's very specific, which we appreciate. And that's important to remind people, especially, like you said, like creatives in any industry. But I know every day we get told no.
Yes.
Like after auditioning or after whatever it is in this industry, being an actor or anything, where you have to wait on other people to like you to get the part.
Yes.
For the lack of better words. So definitely having that confidence and reminder of like you are in control of what you take in and what you allow.
Yeah.
And I do like that. I see many quotes with that same energy that I always find really as an important reminder of like, yeah, this is a good point. Like I'm allowing, like I can only control how I react.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And so because of that, I'm going to react in a more positive way instead of hurting myself by being more down or whatever it might be, getting in my head more.
Something else that I found too is that very often the people who try to make you feel like you don't belong somewhere probably don't think that they belong there either.
Totally.
And so they're like projecting it onto you.
Yes.
So yeah.
It's like the bullies, you know, the ones who are the mean girls and they're really just jealous or like insecure within themselves. It's like the same thing in any work. It's sad, like seeing as adults, it's still an issue people have to deal with.
Yeah.
But it just goes back to like, if you're good with yourself, like you don't have to be mean to other people.
Exactly. Yeah. Like happy, confident people don't feel the need to like be mean to other people. So
yeah, because they're minding their own business.
Yeah. There was actually something I think you posted maybe like a month or so. I think it was your mom, because you posted similar quotes. Or maybe it was both of you.
Yeah.
Posted something that was along the lines of like, if someone is unkind to you, like the first thing that I think of is like, are you okay?
Yes, I did.
Was it you?
Okay. It was like my response to unkind words is like, go, like, are you good? Like, get therapy or something like in that realm of like you being unkind. I can, I'll pull it up. Like,
no, it was
the
really
sake
good
of this, because they worded it so well. It's like my new response to unkind or to mean comments is like, are you okay?
Yeah.
And then they're gonna feel dumb, like, oh my god, wait, that was dumb, like, why was I saying that to her when she didn't deserve that? It was my own bad day or my own negativity or anxiety or insecurity that I'm projecting onto you.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's a good one. I should pull that back up soon.
Yeah.
I like posted it because it like was cool in the moment. And then I like left it in my phone, so it's so many different photos I can find. But thank you. That's a good reminder.
Yeah. No, I saw that and I was like, preach. I might even have stolen it and reposted it myself.
Yeah,
I
totally. As you should. Yeah. I'm sure you like
quotes
it
are meant
something
to be shared.
Yeah,
right?
100%. Anything. Yeah. I mean, anything you put out there, I'm expecting someone somewhere to see it and hopefully it resonates with them. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's so true.
Yeah, it's a mature approach for sure. So I did want to touch on You are the first, I would say talent, the first, well, you are a talent, but you're the first guest that I have on that's a married woman.
Oh, really?
Okay, yes. Oh. So I think that's so exciting. Mm-hmm. I need to know, like, your story.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of my friends were all, like, getting to like mid 20s and so everyone's like having these little quarter life crises
crises.
I don't know, but you get my point.
yeah
we're all having these like moments of like, oh, like what do I do, or if someone's with someone, they don't think that they're gonna be the one, will they ever find the one, or like just like that like anxiety that society puts on you, I think, just without realizing, because of the times, like people were married with kids by my age. So I feel like we're obviously getting older in terms of like you can live your life and it's encouraged to not settle down, for the lack of better words, until your 30s or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But I do like seeing like little love stories that happen younger to kind of know it's like a thing and it's possible. Mm-hmm. So can you explain like a little bit about you and your husband's relationship, how you knew he was the one, all that stuff?
Well, I guess to preface a little bit, so I, in high school, did not date at all.
Okay.
I didn't go on a single date. And not necessarily because nobody asked me. Like, I did have people ask me out, but nobody that I was really interested in.
Okay.
And I didn't really want to date just to date.
Okay.
Because, like, I was busy, okay? I had honors classes. I was in theater. I didn't have time for these little boys.
Valid.
Plus, I also, you know, have a Mexican mother and a strict Italian father.
Yes.
So I wasn't, like, super, like, encouraged to date either.
Yeah, totally.
So, like, yeah, I did not date at all in high school. And then also, like, I would see my friends who were in relationships, and it didn't necessarily look fun to me.
There was fighting.
So, like, I wasn't in any rush.
Okay.
So then I get to college, and I was like, okay, like, I kind of would like a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Like, you know. So it was my second semester of college.
Okay.
And I was auditioning for one of the plays that semester.
Okay.
It was Twelfth Night, which is Shakespeare.
Yeah.
And so I literally prayed. I was like, dear God, I was like, this semester, please let me get cast in the play or get a boyfriend. But if I have to choose between the two, give me the play.
Exactly. Yeah.
Little did I know that I was about to meet my husband in
my
that
God.
Play. So yeah, we got cast in Twelfth Night together. So I played Maria, who is the maid character, and then he played Sir Toby Belch, who is together. We're kind of like the comic relief.
Okay.
The show. Well, the whole show is a comedy, but I feel like them two especially just kind of like the hijinky, hired help of the manor. But yeah, we met and we like connected right away. And one of the first things that we connected on was Elton John.
Aww.
We both really loved Elton John and the movie The Road to El Dorado.
Okay.
Which like I feel like not that many people know, but we both loved.
And yeah, it's a big deal. Yeah.
I like that movie. We also both really liked System of a Down, which is another band, like a rock band. And it was just like easy. Like, it was so easy to talk to him. We, like, after rehearsal, we would be, like, talking out of our cars to each other.
Aww.
Like, I'd be in my car and he'd be in his car, and we'd be, like, talking out the window for, like, an hour after rehearsal ended, and my mother would be texting me, like, where are you? Come home.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, eventually he asked me to be his girlfriend. And we've been together ever since. And that was, it'll be 14 years ago about a month. Less than a month, a couple weeks. Because going out on March 14th, 2010.
Oh my God, that's so pure.
Yeah.
I like, it seems just very genuine. And the thing that stood out, two things stood out specifically.
Mm-hmm.
One is you had intention.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, me included, when... Mm-hmm. Especially when I was fresh out of my long relationship, I think almost 2 years by now, my intention was to not get a boyfriend. It was to explore the world outside of that.
Yeah.
And then now I feel like I've done I figured out more of what I wanted, who I am.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, okay, now if my intention is more like, I don't want to have the games, like I'm comfortable like being, doing my thing and then believing that they'll come when the time's ready.
Yeah.
So I think that intention was cool that you mentioned, like you didn't want a boyfriend and when you knew you wanted one, you just approached it differently.
Yeah. No, for sure.
I think that's important. And the other thing that stood out is that you mentioned it was easy. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the biggest thing I've learned is, like, it should not be difficult. You shouldn't be stressed. You shouldn't be confused. You shouldn't be, like, wondering where you stand. Mm-hmm. It being easy, whether it means, I think it being easy meaning you guys clicked well mm-hmm. instantly, or whether it just meant, like, you guys didn't have that anxiety, that, like, moment of, like, ooh, like, what's going on? Or the drama, I think, is really important. Yeah. So were you guys ever, like, in a talking stage? Or I feel like 15, 14 years ago, it, like, wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, I like her. We're going to date.
Yeah. No, we really didn't have, like, a talking stage. Or if we did, it was, like, very brief.
Okay.
Because, like, we were in rehearsal together every day. So, like I said, we'd hang out outside of our cars after mm-hmm. rehearsal, or like we'd go out with the cast after and like, you know, talk there. But really it was only like a week or so. Actually, you know what else I forgot to mention?
Yeah.
So, okay. My grandfather had passed away. I'm going to cry.
Oh, no.
So my grandfather had passed away a couple of months before I met my husband.
Okay.
And my grandpa's most favorite movie was The Blues Brothers.
Okay.
He loved it. Loved it.
Okay.
And I remember at rehearsal one day, like before we really like started talking, Tony, my husband, he was wearing a Blues Brothers shirt.
Oh my god.
So I kind of felt like it was like my grandpa sign. Like sending him
yeah.
to me.
Wait, that is
wow,
so
I did
beautiful.
Not expect to cry.
She, guys, if you're watching, you see her crying, but no, this is insane. If you're listening, she's crying right now because those moments, those signs mean so much.
No,
oh
they
my
really
god.
Do. They really do.
Do you want tissue or something?
No. I think I'll be okay.
Okay.
I have a lot of setting powder on.
Okay. Yeah, you can't tell. I'm close to you, so I can see your eyes water.
But, so he was wearing a Blues Brothers shirt. And I remember that's, like, one of the first things I said to him, actually, was, like, oh, my gosh, I love that movie.
That is so pure.
Yeah.
Aww,
so
oh
that was
God.
Really cute. And, from there, like, everything was just, like, really easy. And, yeah, like I said, it's just the conversation flowed. I felt like I had known him forever. Mm. And he also had never been in a relationship before.
Okay.
So it was kind of like we were both figuring it out together.
Yeah.
Because we were just kind of like, what do we do? Like, well, how does this work? Because mm-hmm. Neither one of us really had a frame of reference. And
yeah.
so we just kind of like made up our own rules and like.
Which is kind of, I think, maybe better. You
maybe.
Don't have past trauma. You don't have past
yeah.
like BS that you can base it
yeah.
off of.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That is true.
Yeah, so that's really pure. I love the signs. I believe in that more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Not to the extreme that happened, word for word, like how it ended up. You see how it played out for you, which is beautiful. You see looking back, like that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I also would believe it was my grandpa sending that to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm one of, when I was, my grandpa had passed almost 10 years ago now, but I remember like anytime I meet somebody, there are certain things I remember he would tell me were like necessities I need in like a boyfriend or a husband
mm-hmm.
or whatever it is.
Oh, that's so
and
nice.
And so having those little moments of like, wait, like grandpa would actually like, this is something he told me I should always look for in a guy.
Yeah.
And like when I find it, it's like that means something to me.
Mm-hmm.
Those little moments and signs and stuff. So it's really sweet.
No.
Yeah. I would believe in, I would, that would be game changing.
I know. And like it makes me sad that like he never got to meet him because I know he would have loved him. Because both of my parents actually passed away that year. My grandma and then my grandpa a few months later.
Aww.
So it does make me sad that like he never got to meet them because I know they would have loved him because everybody loves him.
Aww.
But little things like that. It's like, no, they know him.
Yeah, that they sent him to you.
Yeah.
I really believe in that. That's so pure.
Exactly.
Aw, that's going to give my friends hope.
Oh,
and me hope. That's really sweet. I love that. And I also love, it just seems very genuine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like nowadays it's just like not genuine with a lot of the dating or the intentions.
Mm-hmm.
They're still very like dog eat doggy world type of thing. So I appreciate like hearing that story.
Mm.
And I think the biggest thing that also stands out the most is how when you know, it wasn't a thing. You weren't confused. Any friend of mine that's in a relationship, I'm like, when did you know you wanted to date her? He's like, oh, under a month. Like, it's quick. It should not take you a year to figure out, well, what do I want? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, for sure. And, like, I remember when he asked me out, I was like, yes. Like, immediately,
aww.
Yes. And, like, whenever boys would ask me out in high school, I would be like, like,
oh. Yeah.
Because you know, I didn't want to go out with any of the boys that asked me. But there's that moment where we're like, well, you know, maybe I could give it a try.
You kind of forced yourself.
But I always was just like, you know, like, no, I'm sorry. And then when my husband asked me out, I was like, yes. I remember we were in his car. And he asked me, he goes, like, I could tell he was so nervous. Because it was the first time he had ever asked a girl out. So he was, like, fidgeting. And he was like, what would you say if I asked you out on a date? And I was like, I would say yes.
That's so cute.
And then, yeah, it all kind of happened from there.
That's so pure. Mm-hmm. I love that so much.
Yeah.
What do you think was the biggest thing you've learned from that? I mean, you're still in the relationship. But what have you learned, like, throughout that process?
Yeah, well, I think where we're very fortunate is, so we were 19 when we first started dating. And so now we're both 33. Okay. And you're definitely a much different person when you're 33 than when you're 19. Like, so much stuff has happened since then. And I think what can often happen is people grow and they grow apart. And I think we've been very fortunate in that we've grown together, which is nice. And we've just kind of complemented each other over the years, which is not to say that we don't ever fight or that we're perfect or anything like that, because we're definitely not. We've definitely had our ups and downs, just like anyone. But I think one of the biggest things that I've learned over the years is to, like, pick your battles.
Okay.
And, like, certain things are not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
But, like, we'll blow it up and it'll cause a big fight, and then an hour later we'll both be like, that was so dumb, like, why did we fight over that? Like, that's so insignificant.
Yes.
And, like, we have such a good thing going that it's like, why are we bothering fighting over, like, because, you know, he left the cabinets open or
like the little things. That's a good point. Knowing when to chill. I think also, like, that can also go with, like, if you're really mad in the moment, give it a second. Like, you don't have to, like, figure it out right in that moment.
Yeah.
You can, like, step away. Because then when you do, usually you realize, like, you are able to be like, wait, this is so dumb.
Yeah.
So that's cool. That's a good point. Do you think, so, like, how long until he asked you to marry him?
So since we were so young when we started, it was a while. So we got engaged when we were 26, I think.
Okay.
So after we had both graduated college and everything, we went to New York for his birthday.
Okay.
And he asked me at the top of the Empire State Building.
Oh.
And it was, like, the perfect New York day, because, like, we went to the Statue of Liberty. We went to the 9/11 Memorial. We went to, where else did we go? Oh, we went to Serendipity for dinner, because I'd always want to go there my whole life.
Yeah.
The movie.
It's a very, like, movie place.
Yes, it's
just
so cute.
Just an actor of space to be in New York. And it's cute for you guys.
And then we ended up the night at the Empire State Building. And what's funny, though, is that he had the ring in his pocket the whole day.
Okay.
Because he was trying to gauge, like, when the best time to do it would be. But the thing about all the places that we went to is that they all had security. Like, Ellis Island has security. The 9/11 Memorial, of course, has security.
Yeah.
So we went through all these places. And I remember we were at Ellis Island, like, to go to the Statue of Liberty. And so I went ahead first. And then he got detained behind me. And it was because they found the ring. And so he's like, oh, go ahead, babe. I'll be right there. They just need to check something.
Every time.
So fun fact is Ellis Island has the best lighting for selfies you could ever hope for.
Okay.
So I was over like, yeah, no, it's fine. And I'm like taking
living
selfies.
Living your best life.
Like on this little, you know, Ellis Island, like taking pictures. And so he said that in that moment. So he's with the security and they're like, what's in your pocket? And he was like, it's a ring. And they're like, what? And he's like, it's an engagement ring. And he was probably like, see that bitch over there taking pictures of herself?
That's gonna be my
it's for her. So and then they were like, oh, okay. So they let him go through.
And then
the same thing happened at the 9/11 Memorial where they stopped him and I went ahead.
Okay.
And he thought that I had seen it, like, in the little thing that you put your stuff in. Mm-hmm. But I didn't, and I swear I did not see it. And then, yeah, we went to Serendipity for dinner, and we went to the Empire State Building, and we were at the very top, and he left for a little bit. And so I was by myself kind of looking out over the city, and then all of a sudden I hear him go, attention everybody, because, like, he's, you know, an actor
too. A theater kid, yeah.
So he knows how to, like, rile up a crowd. So he's like, attention everybody, hi guys, my name is Tony Leyva, that's my girlfriend Angela Aiello, and we've been together for, I think we'd been together for like seven or 8 years at that time.
Okay.
He's like, I love her so much, like, is going on and on and on about how much he loves me and all of that. And then he gets down on his knee and asks me to
marry him. Did you know what was happening?
So, not totally. Like, I kind of had a suspicion that it might happen, but I wasn't, like, for sure.
Okay.
But no, it was, like, magic. And, like, I have the video. I can play it for you later because it's so cute. Because he found somebody to take a video right before. And he had, there's a saxophone player up at the top of the building that day, so he paid him like $5. He was like, can you please play Can't Help Falling in Love by Elvis? So that was playing as he's like proposing. But yeah, it was so cute, and we were like celebrities on the Empire State Building for the rest of the night.
Oh my god,
like,
I can imagine all the congratulations.
Yes, like everyone was like, congratulations, like for the rest of the night. It was so cute. It was, it was
perfect.
Perfect day, perfect moments.
That's so fun. No, and then it's great. Been the rest is history.
And the rest is history.
I love that. That's so it's a cute story. I do love those, hearing those stories. It's fun. It's fun being somewhere else too, outside from home, to make now a different state special to you guys.
Yeah, exactly. So now, like we always say, or my mother will always say, anytime she sees the Empire State Building in like a movie or something, she'll be like, "Look, it's your building."
Aw, that's so cute.
Yeah,
that's very pure.
Yeah, no, it's really cute.
Cool. That's really fun. Yeah, I think overall, it's just. It's pure, which I think is really special, and it's cool hearing how long you guys have been together.
Yeah,
and how you grew up together. I've been saying
essentially,
that for years.
Yeah.
Like you have to grow together, grow apart, and a lot of times things don't work because people grow apart. But it's important to have. I'm guessing you guys have those communication skills and those like just working out. Like, you know, like we were able to sit down and be like, no, this is what we need to do.
Yeah.
And he's also an actor. So does he work in the acting world still?
So that's another reason why he's just such a keeper. So he has not acted recently.
Okay.
Because he has like a 9-to-5 job. So it makes it a little more difficult to be an actor when you have a regular 9-to-5 job, especially if you plan on doing like film. Because you know how film is.
Yeah.
It'll be like, hey,
can
be here tomorrow at this time, or you have to send in this audition by 5 o'clock today.
Yes.
Which if you're work, it's like so he's kind of like taken a back seat and like lived vicariously through me in a way with my acting journey, and he's so supportive. Like he could not be more supportive of me, and like he's never ever once like ever expressed any type of like jealousy or resentment at the fact that I am pursuing this acting career. No, and it's so great, because I know that would not be the case with all people 100%. In the same boat. Like, I can only imagine the things that, you know, the jealousy and all that, you know, that could have been me kind of an attitude.
100%.
But no, he is the most supportive, and anytime, like, I book anything, or if I don't book anything, he's the first person to, like, tell me how much he loves me and believes in me, and to keep going.
Sweet.
And, like,
that's
anytime.
Important.
Yeah. Anytime, as you know, sometimes it can be hard, like, getting so much rejection and feeling in your feels, and he's always right there, like, no, you've got this, like, you're gonna make it happen, keep going, I believe in you. And I'm very, very fortunate, and I try not to take it for granted, because I know that's not always the case.
That's super important. It probably also helps with you guys lasting and you know, being together for so long is because it's industry, it can be almost threatening to men.
Yeah.
In
our
lives.
Another thing. Yeah.
They can think like, oh, you're going to go out there and be cute on social media or on set, and they're going to love you, whatever it is. Like, there's so many reasons why men can be jealous and women can be jealous if it's vice versa, or whoever you're with. And on paper, you get why they would be jealous, but like to be able to be confident in yourself and to know, like, no, that's my girl. She's coming home to me.
Yeah.
Like, she's living her life. Like, that's okay. I'm going to do my thing. That's crucial. And that's so important. And it is sadly hard to find, I think, especially in this industry, especially because he was also trying to be an actor at one point. Like, there can be so many things that could have been made it difficult, but hearing that he's been great is like so important.
Yeah. No, I think it takes a special type of person to date an actor.
Yeah.
Because like, you know, there's going to be scenes where, you know, you do kissing scenes or you're going to be gone on location for a few months, or you're at rehearsal every night. Like,
totally.
There's a lot of factors that go into dating an actor that I think people don't always anticipate.
Yeah.
100%. But because he's like lived that before, he gets it, which
that's helpful.
Is nice.
It's you speak the same language.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do often wonder, like, will it be better to be with someone who's in the industry or not? And I feel like so far, I think in the industry, it seems more my speed. But a balance. Yeah. That's still a lot.
Because then I've also heard from like other like girlfriends yeah. of mine that like, you know, when they've dated actors, it's been horrible.
Yeah,
because
think,
it's like,
yes.
it's too similar clashing. Almost. Exactly. Yes. That they clash and it's like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. I don't think I could necessarily do an actor. I think there's a lot of things that go with that because mm-hmm. there's a lot. You have to have a certain mentality to be an actor. Sometimes it's a little unhinged. Like yeah. you have to really have a different level sometimes to be able to live in this industry.
Yes.
But I think someone in the industry who can respect and understand mm-hmm. the game and the hustle and like the timing and like you said, like the certain things that it takes from you, like
yeah.
with your days and everything.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. I think that's insanely key, is having a supportive partner.
Oh yeah.
So it's good to hear that that worked out.
It did. Yeah. 14 years and counting.
Yeah,
so.
That's cool. That's really exciting.
Yeah.
How long after the engagement did you guys get married?
8 months, which oh my God. I do not recommend.
Well, was there a reason?
Not necessarily. Well, we kind of just wanted to do it just because like we had been together for so long.
Yeah.
We were like, let's just do it. So we got engaged in August of 2017.
Okay.
And we were like, let's do it next year. So we got married in April of 2018. So it was 8 months, which is very fast in terms of wedding planning.
Yeah.
I was
oh my God,
a basket
the
case.
Venue
I hated it. I absolutely
I
hated wedding
mess.
Planning. Yeah, no,
yeah.
I was the hottest of hot messes.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
He's like, oh my God, no.
Like, actually, yeah. no. but no, I did not like wedding planning. I know some people do.
Yeah.
But it was, I did not like it, especially under such a small time frame.
Yeah.
I'm just someone who I don't really like being in charge of things unless I know exactly what I'm doing.
Okay.
And like this was my first time getting married, so I didn't know what I was doing, so I did not like it. But it all ended up perfect. Our mm-hmm. day was perfect and beautiful. I was 45 minutes late to my own wedding.
Me.
Which I am not a late person.
Oh, I am. I'm nervous. I'm
so maybe you'll be early then
yeah,
to your wedding.
They
you'll
have to
show
tell me
early.
It's an hour before it is because I will be late.
Oh my gosh. So. I am always so punctual. Yes. I'm always like annoyingly early to everything. So to this day, I still don't entirely know how I ended
yeah,
up being that
like
late.
What happened?
I don't know. Like, I really don't know how time got away from us so
yeah.
much. But like, and then it was like everything that could have happened because so my dad drove me to the ceremony.
Okay.
Because I remember my mom, I think, was riding with someone else. So it like just so happened that like my dad drove me to the ceremony. Mm-hmm. And then we got a train on the way there. It was like everything that could have happened. And so, yeah, I got there. 45 minutes
late.
Did
it postpone the whole process?
It kind of did.
Oh
I don't think
God.
Our
I mean,
event planner was very happy with us, but...
I mean, you're the bride. You can do whatever you want. I was kidding. It's going to be my mentality. It's going to be not a good mentality. Oh, my God. That's so funny.
But it all ended up okay.
Yeah.
It was all perfect. I also had, like, a mental breakdown the week before. Because, I had several, but like
yeah.
this one in particular was because it snowed like the week before because it's April. So
yes.
April's kind of a risky month to get married
yeah.
if you want to get married outside. So it snowed like the week before and we wanted to do it outside.
Mm-hmm.
And there was the option to move the ceremony inside, mm-hmm. but it would have completely thrown everything else like
okay.
off. So we were just praying beyond prayers that like it was going to be good weather. And then
yeah.
when it snowed the weekend before, I was like, oh my God, like why? What is happening? But thankfully it was like a beautiful, perfect, like sunny 62 degree
oh
day.
Oh my God.
So
oh, that's nice.
It was great.
That's
yeah.
great
no,
weather.
It was perfect.
Okay.
And it was a full moon. So.
Oh,
all...
the energy.
Yes.
Okay,
exactly.
Cute.
So it was all good.
That's so funny. Now I just got nervous for my wedding. I'm going to be so late. Now, switching gears a little bit, I did want to talk about the industry. So, obviously, you're an actor. You've touched on, you know, some of the stuff. You grew up doing theater, all the things.
Mm-hmm.
How would you say it has been for you being a woman in the industry?
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting
yeah.
being a woman
complex.
In this industry. Yeah, because
yeah.
it's like, I feel like there's a lot of things that you can do or say that can be interpreted really wrong. But if a man was to do those
mm-hmm.
same things, it would just be like, oh, like, what a strong man. Like,
yeah.
what a free thinker.
Yeah.
All of that sort
yes.
of stuff. For me, I'm someone who tends to get cast in like, you know, oh, like, the mistress or
okay.
like
yeah, yeah.
one time I was the pregnant mistress like
okay.
which was so fun. I loved that show.
Yeah.
But I really try to speak up when it comes to the characters that I play and make them complex
mm-hmm.
And not have them be just one note.
Got it.
Which thankfully the directors that I've worked with have been really receptive
mm-hmm.
to those things and those ideas, which I know is not always the case.
Yes.
But yeah, for me, it's always been about just making my characters complex and real people,
yeah.
And speaking my mind and not being afraid to speak my mind. Because, mm-hmm. yeah, sometimes you can look like, oh, she's difficult if
yeah,
you speak your mind.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. That's cool. I mean, obviously, we're taught, like, in classes mm-hmm. to, like, you know, make your character background for your character,
yeah.
like, make her a real person. Mm-hmm. But I think that's important, especially for roles where in typical worlds, it's like, oh, who cares? She's just a mistress. Like, mm-hmm. you know, she can be brushed off, especially if a man writes it. They
yeah.
probably don't put depth into
exactly.
her.
Exactly.
But there's always a story. So mm-hmm. I think that's a good point.
Yeah.
yeah.
And even if it's not written with depth,
of course.
I feel like that's part of our job as yeah. actors is to bring that depth to it, to the unwritten
yeah,
part of the character.
100%. That's cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wait, who would you say are some of your biggest role models? Both like celebrities, not celebrities?
Yeah. Well, non-celebrities, obviously my mother.
Yeah.
My mother is someone who I wish I could channel sometimes because my mother is someone who is not afraid to say what she thinks to anybody. Yeah, she's such a boss. And sometimes I wish I could harvest some of that boss energy.
Yeah.
Sometimes while I try to speak my mind, I also, like, I'm always scared of, like, hurting people's feelings.
Okay.
My mom is just, like, no, blunt, like, will tell you what she thinks. And I think that's great. And
yeah,
I love that for her. Yeah.
Needed, especially for women.
Exactly. Exactly. It's definitely my mom.
It's a good role model to have.
Yes.
Though.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Yeah.
But for famous, I have, like, two main role models as
okay.
far as career go. And it's Sophia Loren.
Okay.
And Salma Hayek.
Okay.
So Sophia Loren, for anyone who doesn't know, because she's kind of old school, she's still alive. She's in her 90s. But she was one of, like, the big actresses of, like, the 50s and mm-hmm. 60s. She was, like, an Italian actress.
Mm-hmm.
And something I admire about her, aside from how incredibly talented she was
yeah.
slash is, because she could do it all. She could do comedy. She could do drama. Very, very talented. She has an Oscar. But aside from that is what a, like, trailblazer she
yeah.
was in terms of standing up for yourself.
Totally.
So she was asked multiple times when she was, like, in the prime of her career to get a nose job.
Mm-hmm.
And she said no every single time.
Okay.
She refused. And I feel like that's very rare, especially for this era
yes.
where
yes.
women pretty much did what they were told
100%.
Back then.
Yeah.
So the fact that she said absolutely not, like,
yeah.
I'm making you money, aren't I? Like,
yeah. yeah.
like, are we having problems selling tickets? And
yeah.
my nose is the way it is, so I don't understand. Like, what is the problem? And so she never did, which I think is so cool. She also sort of ushered in, like, a new, like, body type for
okay.
that time. Because while they did like curves during
yeah.
that time period, she was, like, very, very curvy for that time.
Okay.
Which I think is really cool. I love it when, you know, beauty standards are kind of defied
totally.
And, like, created anew.
Yeah.
And it's similar, I think, also with my other girl, Salma Hayek.
Yeah, for sure.
Because when she first got to Hollywood in, like, the 90s, like, people didn't really want to work with her because she was Mexican. They're like,
uh-huh.
who is this random Mexican girl? Like,
yeah.
didn't want to hire her to act. Designers didn't really want to dress her mm. for red carpets. So she kind of had to, like, forge
Crazy.
Her own path.
Yeah.
And now she's, like, so well-known and fabulous. She's Oscar-nominated. She doesn't have an Oscar yet, but she's Oscar-nominated, I believe.
Yeah.
She's married to a billionaire.
Yeah. Yeah,
she's living a good life.
Yeah,
yeah,
I love. Yeah, all my role models are similar, like
mm-hmm.
women who stood out or who fought for their own way. If
yeah.
that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, Rita Moreno is, like, a
yes!
classic.
Another queen.
She's, like,
mm-hmm.
yeah. For those who don't know, she's older now as well. But
yeah.
she, I mean, they used to make her look white just so she can fit a role.
Yeah.
Or they would only cast her to play, like, Indian girls, even though she
yeah.
was Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
She had a hard life getting abused by her manager and,
yeah.
like, kind of making her way only because of what she looked like.
Mm-hmm.
But she always was able to, like, back it up with her talent. And it wasn't until more recently, I feel like, she got that credit because now women are being celebrated
mm-hmm.
for more than just their looks. So
yes.
I think it's really important.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she's another one.
Yeah,
Trailblazer. Rita Moreno. Love her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I love the history of, like, seeing all the women who, like,
yeah.
figure it out. I know Women's History Month is in March.
Yeah.
So it's my favorite thing to do is, like, really reflect on all the women who got us here.
Mm.
I think especially because we're both Hispanic brown girls, I think it's cool knowing, it's not cool, but it's insane knowing that, like you said, like, having even 50 years ago, like, that wasn't, like, allowed or celebrated on camera.
Yeah.
And then now it's, like, everywhere, which I think is really important.
Yeah. And there still has not been, as far as, like, representation has come, especially in the last, like, decade or so, there still has not been a best actress winner who's Latina.
Yes.
There's been supporting actress, but best actress has never been Latina.
I mean, there isn't many, like, Hispanic women in general who are even stars, if you think about it.
Yeah.
There's no, like Sofia Vergara, that, like, they like her, but she only ever plays the, like, funny, big-boobed, hot girl.
Yeah.
Like, or they only like her because she does her accent, or because she speaks in Spanish half the time, so they make jokes on it. Like, she's not, like, celebrated as, like, a true, like, obviously we think of her like that, but, like, in society, if you just see her, you see her and you like her tips or whatever it is. So obviously that is interesting.
Although, did you see Griselda? Because
I did.
I didn't finish it.
So good. But that was important. I loved seeing that. Any type of movie representing a Spanish family or Spanish humans who made something, even though, you know, that wasn't, like, necessarily the most.
It's not, like, necessarily, like, an aspirational story, but
it's a Hispanic story.
Yes.
A Hispanic woman's story, which is very important.
Yes.
Yes. It's. I haven't finished it. I have been. Yes, but it's on my list.
Yeah.
Because, of course, anything like that is so cool to see.
Yes. And, like, I'm hoping that this now will open the door for her to, like, get more roles that, like, showcase more of her, like, dramatic talent.
Yes, yeah.
Like, oh, my gosh, I saw something the other day that really ticked me off. It was, like, some guy.
Yeah.
like, posting about, like, oh, yeah, they've cast Sofia Vergara as, you know, Griselda Blanco, like, because we obviously know she's just such a great thespian. And it's like, what are you, she is.
Yeah.
Like, she was fantastic on Modern Family, and, like, that's a comedy, and she was hilarious on it, and comedy is just as hard, if not harder, to do than drama. So, like, what do you mean, like, she's such a great actor? Like, she is.
Yeah. Like, what do you mean? They always have the trolls.
Yeah.
I'm sure they think she's hot.
Yeah.
So it's like, why, like, I hate when men, like, talk about a woman in a degree, in, like, a way, like, oh, like, she's whatever. I'm like, no, but if she liked you, you would really, you'd want to be with her just because she's pretty or whatever. Like, it's just, like, so, like, just so dumb.
It's giving sour grapes.
Yeah. Yes, it's just, like, so cringy, honestly.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, it's just, like, you know, like, when you have a guy, like, whistle at you at the street or whatever, and if you, like, say something back to him, or if you ignore him, you're not that hot anyway.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no?
Yeah, because it boosts your ego.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that's, it's just so dumb. But that's a whole other story and conversation. Yeah, that's a whole other experience, for sure. But in that vein, I think it's important to celebrate the women who not only have, I mean, all these women paved ways for us to be where we are today, even to be sitting on a podcast that would, like, not be a thing, even in the 90s.
Yeah.
Like, to have women's voices being heard to this extent. And obviously, we're still nowhere near where we need to be.
Of course.
But we're getting there.
But progress is progress.
Yes, and I believe it's getting better, hopefully.
Yes.
But yeah, it's important to keep those strong communities, especially when I grew up acting, I have more stories younger of, like, girls my age, so, like, let's say we're 14 going to an audition together, and they would be, like, catty towards me, and I'm like, babe, we're both 13-year-old girls going for the same role, like, how do you even know to be catty?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know.
And I think it's, like, no, like, the industry, the society, families, whatever it is, like, they pin women against each other.
Yeah.
And no matter what, at what age, it's something that you see very early on.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very sad. And so, obviously, being a woman in this industry, I think it's really important to celebrate other women who are trying and being creatives and being artists, and just knowing that we're on the same team and that we're not, even though we may be up for the same role, who cares? At least one of us are up for this role.
Yeah.
Like, it shouldn't be a thing where we're nasty about it.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree. Like, it's so unfortunate that women are so often pitted against each other, because it's like, we'd be so much stronger if we, like, banded together and celebrated each other and supported each other. And it's like, I feel like nothing that is meant for you will ever miss you. So it's like, even if you are up for the same part as, you know, another girl, it's like, and she gets it, it's like, well, it wasn't meant for you. Like, there's something else meant for you. And if you just keep going, like, what's meant for you will find you.
Yeah. And okay, she got it. Maybe she needed it today.
Yeah.
Maybe it's something she needed in her lifetime to keep her going, or whatever it is. Like, I 100% my whole life, that's how I was raised, just knowing that, like, if it wasn't, if it wasn't yours, if it didn't become yours, it wasn't supposed to be.
Yeah.
And it's not nothing you did. Like, you can make a difference by maybe showing up differently or whatever it might have been. But, like, truly, it's not worth beating yourself on. Mm-hmm. Like, beating up yourself for, just because at the end of the day, it's out of your control. To an extent, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was just, like, something I remember seeing young that I'd be like, Mom, why was she mean to me? Why did she tell me we didn't have lions when we did? Like, little stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
That's
really awful.
Very intense. I'm like, we're literally 13.
Yeah. Like, you said, like, where did you learn to be this mean?
Yeah. And, like, for the mom, like, if the mom next to her is, like, encouraging this, like, clearly you're not a good role model, because you're teaching your daughter that's okay to, like, be nasty to other girls when there's no need. Like, you don't even know who I am. It's just a lot, especially being a kid, like, younger in the industry or in theater or anything like that, can definitely make or break your experiences by who's around you and stuff. Separate topic, but same vein of just all the things we've been talking about today. What's something you think you see, like, the younger generation doing that, I mean, one, we could highlight the good, and then also, like, something you see, like, the new generation, even in relationships and stuff, like how I said, like, dating and, like, the apps and, like, all that stuff, obviously you didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
So, like, how?
I didn't even have apps.
Well, yeah.
When I met my husband, there was no, I didn't even have a smartphone. I had, like, a little 10 cents a text.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Not even a flip phone at that point.
Yeah. what do you think is something that we should know? Well, even, like, high schoolers, like, just to kind of start having these healthy habits in any relationship, whether it's a friend or a boyfriend, a girlfriend, whatever it is.
Mm. Like, when it comes to relationships?
Yeah.
Yeah. I always feel like, just because I spent so little time as a single person, it's almost like, who am I to, like, critique anyone? Not critique, but, like, you know, to comment on anyone else's singlehood, because it's like, I didn't really live that for that long.
Fair.
But something that I think I would say that, like, I've observed from, like, the younger generation is that I feel like people are less likely these days to be in a relationship just for the sake of being in a relationship. Because I feel like the mentality used to be, like, even when I was a teenager, that, like, it's almost better to be with someone, even if it's terrible, than it is to be single, because at least you can say you're with someone.
Yes.
And I feel like these days that frame of mind is shifting. And these days I feel like the kids are thinking more along the lines of, like, no, I would rather be single than with the wrong person. And I think that's so cool.
So important.
Yeah. I think that's awesome.
I think it's great that it's being celebrated and encouraged. 100%.
Yeah. And, like, just not settling for less than you're worth.
Yeah.
I think is really cool. And I feel like a lot of the younger generation these days isn't settling for less than they're worth. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, less of a goal also these days, I feel, to get married, which I think is cool. And I mean, I say this as a happily married person.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool that these days, like, people's immediate goal isn't, like, I want to get married.
Yes.
Like, these days it's more about first, like, I want to find myself and, like, have my career, and then once I find the right, emphasis on the right person, then maybe I'll get married.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really cool that that's shifting.
Yes, it's important. I think even in families, I grew up obviously in a Spanish household, but, like, my immediate family never pushed relationships on me. They always pushed like, have your own stuff.
Yeah.
And almost to an extreme, to where it took me longer to open up and, like, to want and to trust men or a guy or whatever it is. But I think that that made me more rooted in myself earlier and more confident in myself and my worth at a younger age. And I think that's being celebrated and encouraged more in general. I mean, women, men aren't getting married or having kids till their 30s. And they're using that time to find themselves, which sometimes can be better, because now it's like, I know who I am. I know my worth.
Yeah.
I know what I want. When I meet the person who's also been doing the work, and now we're both 28 and we're ready to go, like, it just, you have less time in, like, confusion of, like, who am I and what am I doing with you and am I wasting my time or are we growing together, are we going apart, like we said. So I do appreciate that. And I think even older generations are starting to process, like, it's okay to not, you know, to not be married or engaged at 25.
And it's okay to not have kids right away or even ever.
Yeah.
I feel like more people now than ever are opting to not have kids at all. Which I know there's people who be like, oh, like the planet's gonna die out because not everybody's having babies. It's like, no, we'll be fine.
Yeah. Or if you want to do all those things, that is also so okay.
Oh yeah,
so
absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Like I feel like these days, people are doing like what they want. And whether that is having kids and getting married or not doing those things, like whatever, it's your prerogative. It's your life. Do you, and like, don't feel contained by the timeline that has been so like advertised over the last 100 years about like how you're supposed to do life.
Yeah. 100%.
Not even just 100 years. The last couple thousand years.
Since the beginning of time.
Like, since the beginning of time. Like, you know, you grow up, you get married, you have babies, the end.
Yeah, and I think it's important to stress, like, the lifespan years ago was, like, 40 or 30. Or, I mean, this is, like, very early.
Yeah,
like,
long time ago.
1800s, whatever. So then realizing, wait, we have people who can happily live until they're 90. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't need to be married and have kids by 25.
Yeah.
Like, we can chill for a second.
Yeah.
And we have so much more life to live, which is important. And finding yourself was, I think, really cool that you mentioned. I agree. It's so, like, glamorized and encouraged in a positive way to be able to be on that self-love journey before you are with your person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, yeah. I think, like I said earlier, it makes or breaks the experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think you've learned the most so far in life? Like, what's something you would want, like, 16-year-old Angela to know?
I think something I would tell little baby 16-year-old Angela is that progress is happening, even if you don't see it happening, because it's like, a lot of the times you don't realize how much you've learned or how far you've come until you really sit back and take stock. And then you're like, oh my gosh, like, wow, I have done a lot. Like, I have learned a lot. And just trust the process. And a quote that a teacher of mine in college used to say all the time, shout out to Heidi Harris.
Okay.
Love her. Amazing acting teacher. Something that she told us that I guess a teacher of hers had told her was to be where you are. Mm-hmm. And that has different levels to it, because it's like, be where you are physically. So like, for instance, right now I'm here in this room. Hi. we're doing this podcast.
Pretending like there isn't a camera in front
of us. Yes. We're right here, right now, doing this podcast in this room. So be where you are in this instance means like, be present. Mm-hmm. Like, don't be thinking about like, oh, did I take Selma out? Like, oh, did I do the laundry? Like, you know, focusing on other things. Like, be where you are. Be present. So it means in that way, be where you are. But also be where you are in life. And just experience everything that's going on in the present. And while it is good, obviously, to plan for the future and have goals and have intentions, like that's wonderful, don't be so focused on the future that you're not experiencing your present, you know?
Yeah.
Because the things that you have in your present are probably things that you worked for in the past.
Yes.
And you're maybe not even enjoying them. Mm-hmm. So enjoy your present while still, you know, looking forward and planning ahead.
That's important. I think it's good for like anyone to remember, because we get so warped up in what's happening on Instagram and what are they doing and why aren't I here yet? Why didn't I hit this level when she did or he did? And like, just remembering everyone's journey is different. Especially when you're in those transitional periods, you feel like you're not doing enough.
Yeah.
And I think as artists, as creatives, everyone's timeline is so funky and so different and unique to who we are and our own needs that we forget, like, wait, why didn't I make it yet? It's like, you've been trying this for only a couple years. Like, it's okay. Like, the world was shut down. And, you know, like, we can have, like, moments of
grace. There's a strike. Like, yeah, so like, many things have happened.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, you need time to just chill and regroup, but also time to work for it, but also enjoy it. Because if not, you're going to work your ass off and then you're going to be like, wait, I'm so tired now that I have it. I can't even appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
It always like makes me emotional to think about like how much my 16-year-old self would like lose her mind over like what I've done so far. And even though, like, if you would have asked me when I was 16 what I would be doing at 33, I would be like, oh, you know, I'm going to be married to like Orlando Bloom and we're going to live in a castle in Ireland and I'll have had, you know, like 2 Oscars by then and, you know, I'll be in this franchise and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, while I might not have any of those things, I still have done some pretty cool things. And I think that she would be really proud of me of where I am, even though it's maybe not exactly where she envisioned I would be at this time. And there's still time to to get to those other goals. Probably not the Orlando Bloom thing.
At this point,
I'm pretty happy with who I did end up with. Very happy with who I did end up with. But the other things, there's still time. So 100%. We'll see.
I love that. I love that looking back. Like, would 13-year-old Alyssa be happy?
Yeah.
Or would she be upset that I'm doing this to myself? Like, am I in a healthy space or a safe space? And that's in any relationship, in any life transitional periods, wherever you are. Yeah. That's a cute perspective to remind yourself of.
Yeah.
That sentence alone. It's like, 16-year-old would be very proud of myself. It's really sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Aww.
And like, by being nice to yourself, like, you're being nice to your 16-year-old self too.
That the inner child and all that stuff.
Oh my God,
is
that like
whole,
destroys
I
me.
I know, I that's a whole other experience.
Yeah.
But it is a great reminder, and it reminds yourself to give grace to yourself and to take care of yourself, because there's someone else. So random, but similar energy. I was listening to a podcast, and the woman had a guest on, and she was talking about how that she thinks if every person in this world is able to, she would wish for everyone to be pregnant. And not to be pregnant to, like, whatever, simply to know what it's like. Because when you're pregnant, she said, I was feeding myself, I was working out, I was making sure I was healthy, because I had this baby in me and I wanted to nurture and nourish this baby. And so I had a different form of self-love that I was practicing on myself, because someone else was inside of me. She's like, and then I realized I've had someone inside of me since the beginning of time, and I wasn't giving myself that same love and energy. But because someone else, I physically can see the growth and like the process of that, it made her realize to take care of herself more. And so she wasn't saying to be pregnant because, oh, the more babies, whatever. It was for the simple fact of, like, that was what it took her to click in her 34, 35 years of, like, wait, I'm now putting this love into something because I see physically it's something's going to come out of it. Why wasn't I doing that to myself since the beginning of time? And that, like, perspective just changed the game for me when I heard it, because I was like, we forget, like, oh, it's okay, I can handle it one more time, or one more shot, or one more day of junk food, or of not working out, or whatever it is for you. And it's like, yeah, you can totally do that, but also remember, like, don't just be, like, harmful to your body just because you don't care about her or him. You know what I mean? Like, it just was like a sweet way of putting it, I think.
No, I really love that. I haven't heard that before, but no, that totally does make sense. Like, like, we're so mean to each other.
To ourselves.
I meant to ourselves. We're so mean to ourselves, like, all the time. And it's like, just remember, there's your inner little girl in there.
Yeah, that was cute.
Did you watch the J-Lo movie yet?
Yeah, wait, which one?
Her new one, the This Is Me Now.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, girl, you should watch it, because there's a scene that's very much what we're talking about right now towards the end of it.
I'm going to tell my mom, though, about the movie. Is it on Netflix?
It's on Prime, Amazon Prime.
It's called This Is Me Now.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know why I haven't seen anything for that.
It's almost like a visual album.
Okay, kind of. I understand.
Yeah.
Got it.
So it's like part music, like a long-form music video, part movie, but it's only like an hour and 5 minutes, so it's not like a full movie. It's interesting. I liked it.
Yeah, I watched like her other stuff, obviously, whether it's a real movie or her own life and stuff, which is like anything like that is important and fun to watch.
Yeah.
But just to wrap things up, is there anything else you want anyone to know? Any other words of wisdom or life moments or memories or anything you want to share?
I think I would probably just keep it to what I was saying earlier about how, like, what's meant for you will never miss you. And if there's something that you're working towards, just keep going.
Yeah.
You got this. I believe in you.
Yeah.
And it'll all be okay.
I know. I love it. That's the only way to live.
Yeah. No.
I appreciate it being, like, validated by someone else saying that and believing that. Do you have any last minute questions or anything for me?
I don't think so. I think I'm good.
Yeah. Do you want to plug your Instagram?
Sure.
Your videos and all the fun, anything else you got going on?
Yeah. So my Instagram is at angela.aiello, A-I-E-L-L-O. So I post my little makeup videos on there, my scenery creations, and I post a lot of just like things that inspire me in general. So if that sounds interesting, go check it out.
Thank you, Angela. And I will put that in, like I said, I'll link everything on the bio so we can make sure we spread the wealth and spread the love towards you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so fun.
Of course. I'm excited. I love it. I love editing and like rehearing like the things that like we talk about to like remind myself. You know what I mean? Like it's just cute to hear. It's like therapy in a different form.
No, it makes sense.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And thank you everyone for watching and listening. You know the drill. Like, comment, subscribe, share, repost, all the things. And, you know, send in your questions, your comments, your thoughts, your all stories, whatever it is, link in bio. And I cannot wait to see you when we are on to the next episode next week. Bye.